Radio. And we are with two fantastic ladies from the Youth Services Bureau.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about the LGBT. You know, you kill me because you're always changing your acronyms around. So I'm like, if I usually say LGBT, and then I'm looking and I'm going, he's written GLBT, and that's like freaking me out. Homelessness. Or as I like to say, and again, it's about breaking the stereotypes and that we were talking about. And I noticed this, unfortunately, on that horrible fire yesterday
on
Somerset, when they were doing the news broadcast. And, you know, I was wondering if anyone was hurt and whatnot. And they said, you know, X amount of people were without home. Which I found very interesting. That just put a little signal in my head, and I thought, you know what? That's what I'm going to say now. Instead of saying, you know, our LGBT homeless, the LGBT without a home. Because as soon as you say homeless, people are like,
oh,
drugs. And you
all know? Those stereotypes kick in.
Anyway,
right?
I'll shut up. Go ahead, Luke.
Dear. So I think we were talking just before the show about a project that I'm actually working on with a number of colleagues here in Ottawa to hopefully address what may be a gap in services, looking specifically at male victims of intimate partner violence or men affected by domestic abuse. So in particular, gay men, because right now, mm-hmm. if you are a gay man affected by domestic abuse, you don't really have anywhere to go except for either the adult male shelters or the young men's shelter, and I'm sure you presumably have some programming around that happens.
You don't know where to go, and I'm going to just pop in here for a second just because I've experienced with that, because I was with my partner for 8 years, and in the last year, I had to call the police twice, you know, and after I finally woke up in the second bathroom and realized, oh my God, I've married, but technically I wasn't married because we didn't have gay marriage then. Mm. Remember, I'm the old one. And I was on the floor crying in the bathroom going, oh my God, I've married my stepfather. Mm. And I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what do you do in a situation like that? What we identified is that there really is a lack of services. There is no male equivalent to the VAW movement. And by no means are we saying that it's ripe and men are always... I mean, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that there's a very small percentage of men who are affected by intimate partner violence, in particular either gay men or male adult children, or male dependents of women affected by intimate violence. So what do you do? You know, if you have somebody who comes to the young men's shelter and they say, you know, this is...
my boyfriend's beating me up.
Yeah, well, that's,
let's call it what it is.
Mm-hmm. How does one react to that information, like as the young men's shelter with YSB?
Well, I think, you know, we certainly have experience with unhealthy relationships, and that crosses, you know, all sexual orientation. So in that case, youth are disclosing that their partners are abusive. And once again, we go back to the individual circumstances and support. And you know, we certainly try to help support them to get to a safe place, to get some support, and to help them move forward with what they need to do. But that is something that we are, you know, quite experienced at. There's a lot of dysfunction out there. There's a lot of unhealthy relationships, mm-hmm. and our youth are looking to us for support and how to make some of those changes and make things a little bit healthier.
How many counselors do you have on hand?
In the shelters,
yes.
We have about 7 full-time workers and about 20 staff.
Wow.
So there's about, there's 3 staff on in the evenings and 2 on the awake overnight. Because we're housing 30 youth in mm-hmm. one specific location. And the level of needs are quite different. And so there's a lot of youth that we're working with.
And I was just wondering, does YSB, do they have an open house day or... open house where
you have a drop-in center,
individual, but where an individual can go, because the drop-in center you can't specific, like, I'll let you speak of them.
Well, the drop-in center is open 365 days a year for from noon to 6 for any young person who is looking for a connection, who needs a safe space, who needs some warmth. But through the drop-in, you can get connected to all of our other services. But we also have a 24-hour crisis line for with our mental health team. We actually just launched a new chat feature online, so youth can actually go online and connect to mental health counselors as well.
Is that number the same as the crisis line?
The chat line? Because that's online, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So and so if you go to our website, there's a link there to that.
That's the internet.
Yes, I appreciate that we're dealing I was just going to say, we're dealing
you
with the generational
cow. I'm going to put you in with the goats. The reason why I ask is because there is a crisis line that's with the Royal Ottawa.
Yeah.
So
well,
that's a
yeah.
different number,
that's
correct?
That would be a different
Thank
number.
Thank you.
But all numbers are good numbers, right? All numbers are good numbers. So, but we do. So we've got the support that Sue was talking about within the shelter themselves. But we also have, you know, there's youth workers at our drop-in. We have intensive case management as well that youth can get connected to. Plus the mental health services we have, youth employment that we have. So YSB is actually quite a large organization with multiple points of access mm-hmm. to help youth at any age with their families, if that's appropriate for them, to get what it is that they need.
You mentioned earlier about healthy relationships. And I think it's important to note that healthy relationships doesn't just mean your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It means, you know, your familial environment, your home
peer
environment,
group.
Your peer group. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this might even include folks where, you know, a lot of the homeless population, maybe not a lot, I think that might be using weasel words here, but there is a proportion of the population who are without a home, who do couch surfing or stay with friends or, you know, move around amongst their peer groups. And I think at that point, having an understanding of healthy relationships perhaps takes on a different lens. Mm-hmm. Do you see a lot of folks? I mean, I'm not sure if you would see folks who are couch surfing, but do you interact with
might.
Them?
Yeah, so certainly at the drop-in, we might. Youth that are unstably housed, that have a place for the night, but, you know, not sure about tomorrow, that kind of thing. And so so that's where that drop-in really can become that point of access, because it really is, it's a low threshold access point where people, young people, can just walk in during the hours we're open and, you know, connect with anybody that they need to. Or if they just want to come in and get a lunch and have a shower and do some laundry, access the food bank, you know, they can do that as well. They don't have to go through a whole long assessment piece to get mm-hmm. services. There's some conversation initially with staff for sure, but, you know, the idea is that it's a safe, welcoming, low threshold space where ideally, as they're getting whatever immediate service they need, they have that opportunity to connect with youth workers. And we also have our health services there as well, with some public health nurses, some nurse practitioners, so access into those physical health supports as well at the drop-in location.
And the other thing, too, is just that youth are scared to go to a shelter. I mean, when mm-hmm. most people mm-hmm. think about a shelter, they think about bunk beds and dirty and, you know, lots of people. And our shelter is not like that. It's a beautiful facility in the sense that everybody has their own room, which locks. There's privacy doors for the showers. It's communal living, but there's, you know, it's not as bad as people think. So as soon as someone calls us about our shelter, we're quick to ask them, have you ever been to our shelter before? And we describe it, and we really encourage them to come for a tour and check us out, because it really is voluntary. But once again, we're trying to break through that stereotype of what a shelter is, especially for youth in Ottawa. We only have the Young Women's Shelter and the Young Men's Shelter run by YSB in Ottawa mm-hmm. as youth shelters. And they both are, you know, nice places.
And just to clarify, too, because, again, I can speak to this on personal experience, Luke, the type of environment that you were speaking of earlier is for the elder the bunk beds and sort of description, because mm-hmm. that's what I experienced because in 2000 and oh, I've got to go back now, 2003, I was homeless myself without a home for about three and a half weeks. And I did not go to Family and Friends because I was completely embarrassed mm-hmm. because of mm-hmm. my age at the time. Mm-hmm. And I stayed there one night because I was scared for my life because I am a gay man. Mm-hmm. And I got the looks up and down. So, yeah, one night was all I could handle. And for the remaining 5 days, I stayed at the lovely little parquet that is in the glebe there. So the leaves kept me nice and warm. And then after that, I was very resourceful. And I remembered I still had my apartment keys. And for 2 weeks, I stayed in my wooden locker that was in the basement of the building. And them's the realities.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm. What are some of the difficult barriers that some youth might face if they are, in particular, straight involved? And what kind of resources do you have available to folks around that? I bring it up because, of course, there have been numerous studies around the exposure to HIV risks. For folks who are street involved, along with other sexually transmitted diseases or bloodborne infections.
So you got your STDs, your STIs, HIV, and I didn't hear, what exactly is bloodborne infection?
Bloodborne.
So bloodborne, sorry.
Infections
bloodborne.
Carried in the blood.
In your blood.
Hepatitis C.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
So we're talking about harm reduction,
absolutely,
really, right? Yeah. And so Public Health of Ottawa, we have public health nurses that come to the drop-in. We really do try to focus on all of our staff, understand harm reduction. We have needle exchanges. We have free condoms, things like that, right? So, and then there's some testing with through public health and our health services that are downstairs in the drop-in too. So, you know, recognizing that going to an adult clinic again might be a barrier, right? So what can we do to support youth to get to the services that they need?
Right, yeah. And having more of a youth-friendly atmosphere for them.
Because when you feel comfortable, when you feel safer, then you can look to take better care of yourself because you've got all this, I'm without a home, I'm hungry, oh, I'm embarrassed, oh, God, now I've got to get checked for an STI or an STD. Okay, people, just try to think of that picture on a homeless person.
Yeah. It's a lot to try to deal with, and you can't just pick it apart. And again, you know, we were talking about sort of family breakdown and potentially experiences of violence, or you know, and then adding identity issues that may or may not be accepted by your family, right? So we're right back full circle to where we are in the beginning of this show, right? Mm-hmm. So how does unstable housing impact LGBTQ youth, right? And what does that look like? And I think it's as with other, you know, any other marginalized group, the system really needs to understand that adds an element to that experience, and we can't just ignore it, and we can't just pretend it's not there. And then that's part of everybody's identity, regardless of where you land, where you are today might be different than where you are tomorrow, and all of that needs to be okay.
Mm-hmm. So we really need to look at this more holistically then.
Agreed.
is what I'm getting. You know, of course, we recently had the election on Monday. Unless you've been under a very, very large rock, the Liberals swept the power.
I'm laughing because I was.
Yeah. I did get that memo, though, but thanks for clarifying.
And it's interesting because during the LGBT debates that happened around the country, unfortunately, there was no input from the Conservatives on those, but the Liberals, in particular Catherine McKenna, who is the...
I'm just giggling about the Conservatives.
Wars.
who is the Ottawa Central NDP, not NDP, God, Liberal candidate.
Come on.
It's been a very long day.
This whole thing is falling apart. Go ahead.
So Catherine McKenna, Liberal Ottawa Centre candidate, and now elected MP, noted that the Liberals had promised, I think it's $20 billion to their social infrastructure fund when she was asked specifically about LGBT homelessness. And I think her point was really that, you know, they're promising quite a substantial amount of funding to tackle some of the concerns or lack of fundings around issues of homelessness. So are you cautiously optimistic, perhaps, that 20 billion might translate into some increased funding?
Well, cautiously optimistic. We're always cautiously optimistic, right? I appreciate that there are always pressures and there's a need out there for in any way you can imagine. So it's not that there's a service charity out there that would tell you, you know what, we're good. Just pass those dollars somewhere else mm-hmm. because we have more than we can spend. I mean, the needs are high. The issues are complex. We were just talking about that need to try to be as individual as possible as we can with every youth that walks through our door. And that means that it's not an easy stamp, right? So, and that takes resources, that takes infrastructure, and that takes, you know, being able to have staff like we do. We're very fortunate to have knowledgeable, experienced, professional staff that can work with youth in the way that they need that to happen. So very cautiously optimistic, particularly because in most cases, funding has been static and costs have continued to rise. Mm-hmm. And that puts a lot of pressure on all of us to do the best we can with what we have. But, you know, we don't want to have to make hard decisions.
My takeaway too is also that instead of saying, you know, they said, oh, X amount of promised dollars, I take away that this government is going to be looking at that. We have been acknowledged mm-hmm. as where maybe another party, and I won't say who that was,
sorry,
didn't even look at us.
Well, and
we weren't even on the radar.
Yeah, and you know, and those things, they seem like they're small, but they're not, because mm-hmm. that's part of the public discourse and the public mm-hmm. dialogue nationally and provincially and locally. I mean, you know, and that acknowledgement that we are talking about people, regard, you know, people. It's just, sorry, I'm losing my words because I get so worked up, right? But it's just.
Why do you think I was so excited when I came in today?
I know, but it is. It's meaningful, and it yeah. is a moment. And you know, you had referenced Pierre Trudeau about the state has no business mm-hmm. in people's bedrooms, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And we got so far away from that, mm-hmm. you know, that. But it's not about. It's about getting out of the bedrooms, but it's also about acknowledging our individuality and our opportunity to define that however we want, mm-hmm. and whether that's gender fluid, whether that's gender queer, whether that's a sexual identity, that shouldn't need to matter in terms of what's my experience. If I need help, where's that system for me?
And JT, as the to mm-hmm. be hip and trendy,
oh,
and,
my goodness.
Oh, not an elder, Justin Trudeau. That's a little invite right now from me personally to come on board
down. Yeah,
to the Velvet Studio. We can have a chat,
and then bring him by YSB as well.
Oh, for sure, absolutely. For sure.
Yep.
I think what, if anything, we've managed to establish today is that it is a very complex issue,
mm-hmm.
And that it's a highly intersectional issue. You mentioned earlier about, you know, it's having a place to stay is only one of the elements that needs to be mm-hmm. approached.
That's taken into consideration. Mm-hmm.
There's also, you know, having somewhere to have some food, or, you know, if you're mm-hmm. looking for employment, it's having, you know, work appropriate clothing to wear. Like, there's lots mm-hmm. of
yeah.
various things.
And that transition into adulthood, and I know I keep bringing that up, but I do think that is one of the unique distinctions between adult homelessness, or adults living without homes,
okay.
and youth living without homes, is that they are in a transition into adulthood. It really adds a different element and dimension to the way in which we engage with those clients, and the way in which we can support them in moving forward and understand. We might just have them for this brief amount of time. What's the best we can do, and how can we be most successful at supporting them and preventing that chronic adult homelessness, right?
And of course, that brief amount of time is so incredibly impactful mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. Lots of development happening at that stage, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, do you have any closing remarks?
I wanted to ask each of you that, you know, said some very, very important things. If there's somebody listening right now that's about to be without a home or is in a situation, what would you like to say to them right now?
Yeah, we're looking at each other. Who would like to go first with our inspirational words? I think for me, it would be very much about not giving up. And I know that sounds trite, but you know it isn't. And I think that it's okay to need help. It's okay to reach out. It's not about anything that you've done, it's sometimes those circumstances that happen to all of us, and that there is somebody out there that wants to listen and that wants to support. And if you feel that you can't get down to the drop-in to walk in our doors, get on the phone and call our crisis line, get on the computer and chat with us, or just call us and we'll do whatever we can do to support you. You don't have to sleep cold, alone, and hungry tonight if you don't need.
And you do belong in our community. Mm-hmm. The youth that come to our shelter are our sisters, our brothers, our nieces, our nephews. Mm-hmm. They're regular kids for lots of different reasons. They can't live safely at home. And they need our support. And we need to encourage them. And, you know, some of the youth have a hard time talking to adults. They haven't had good experiences. So we need to be patient. And we really need to listen. And not just hear, but validate, you know, what they're going through, what they think about things. And for them, as one of you mentioned, like the safe space is so important. And that takes time. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to remember. It can't be, you know, it's a process. It's not just a one-time thing. And we need to prove ourselves to these youth because we haven't done so well in the past.
Yep. Brilliant. They're ordinary young people in extraordinary circumstances.
That's a great way to put it.
Thank you. I wanted to, do we got to do quick community announcements or things coming up or what?
We don't have enough time, it will be on our Facebook and our Twitter.
Alrighty.
Always worth checking out. However, I do want to mention, as we play out with this last song, Something Inside So Strong, by, I want to say, Labi Siffer? Siffer? Anyway.
Stifey?
Anyway, whatever. I really should have got
the double F's. Hello, it's a...
Yes. So he wrote this song, and it came out in 87, and it was considered to be a anthem of the anti-apartheid movement. However, he recently revealed to the BBC, as in about this week, that the first two lines, you know, the higher you build your barriers, the taller I become. You know, he was writing about growing up as a homosexual in the 70s and the 80s. So this has been revealed to be about the struggle of homosexuality. So yes, we'll be playing up this song. Bit of a throwback, but definitely worth looking at it with that new lens.
And not to be trite, you know, but it is going to go on record because I have two witnesses Thursday, October 22nd, 2015, that I did get elder abuse from Luke, my co-partner, on the Velvet Studio, like us.
We'll address them next week. Have a good weekend.
You can deny me. You can decide to turn your face. No matter, 'cause there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Oh no, there's something inside so strong. Doing me wrong, so wrong.
norte.